The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
And welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I would love to say we're live in studio, but we're live online doing our normal, their new normal thing on this 4th of July Sunday. Hopefully everybody else is out there listening. I know you turned in to always listen to the radio show on Sunday from 11 to 12. And as you can tell, this is not Dr. Rozelle. This is Dr. Stephanie Pina, a licensed acupuncturist and naturopath at the Rozelle Center for Healing, and I'm filling in for Dr. Rozelle on this lovely, warm holiday Sunday. And I am very excited to have a guest that it's been a long time since we've talked on the radio. So needless to say, I'm going to be bringing back Dr. Leonard Poro from Core Concepts Chiropractic by Rozelle, which is also located in the Broadlands of Virginia. And he's still practicing also at the Rozelle Center for Healing. Welcome, Dr. Poe.
Hey, Dr. Pina. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm so glad you get to join me on this holiday weekend. And we get to go over, you know, how we try and apply and what we can do naturally for people out there. So it should be a fun show. We're going to make it, I guess we're going to be the middle of the summer kickoff. And then everyone can go out and enjoy the 4th of July afterwards and all the fireworks and festivities and stuff like that, too. So,
geez, I hope so. If we're not having fun, what are we doing this for?
I know. Like, we're trying to help people. Remember, we're trying to help all those people who have questions and want to get a hold of them. They've tried and applied, and they need those answers. So I need your help to give the people what they want. And hopefully Dr. Zell's out there listening going, okay, we approve too. So, but if you have any questions and you want to get a hold of us, feel free to give us a call. The number is 888-630-9625. Again, that number is 888-630-9625. So we can answer any questions that you might have. Dr. Poe, we are in the middle of summer, and as a chiropractor, I know you're still staying very busy. One of the things I've always seen is, like, sometimes we see actually more patients coming in and more people interested in doing chiropractic and acupuncture and working on their nutritional health during the summer. But then other times people are kind of going, I don't know how I do that if I'm traveling and I've got all these outside activities to do. What are your thoughts about what you're seeing, and why should someone be more concerned about keeping up their treatments when they're going to be out and about and having fun?
Yeah, summer's kind of a that weird time, and it's curious because so much of our thought and what we do and our schedules are governed by schools. And so once the kids are out, you know, the schedule changes for a couple months. But that doesn't mean, you know, how you approach your healthcare and what you do for yourself and all those things. Those things really shouldn't change. They get modified a little bit, but, you know, I know a lot of patients get worried about starting care. You know, well, I don't want to start, and then I'm gone for a week here, or I'm gone for a week there. You don't really lose ground. There's a lot of basic things you're doing in the very beginning. And especially when we're talking about structural care, there's exercises you can do. You know, I frequently give patients exercises, stretching, so that, you know, if you're starting care and you've got to take a break because you're going to the beach, you're going to the mountains, you're going on some sort of vacation, you can keep up with it. And it's not hard to do. But any time is a good time to get started. You just gotta get it going.
Right. And you bring up a good thing too, is like people are becoming more active. And so we see more weekend warriors and we see more activity. So with that, we have to almost plan ahead because we're pushing ourselves even more.
Yeah. And especially right now, because there's a lot of people that have been very inactive over the past year, year and a half. And now they're getting back out and they're doing things and maybe not pacing it correctly for being inactive for the last year and a half. So you want to be careful. You want to make sure you're not getting injured. You're going right back out, and you want to be able to exercise. You want to be able to do those things, not worry about getting injured, not worried about, you know, hurting your muscles, hurting your joints. So now is a good time, if you've been inactive, if you're trying to get, you know, out and doing things again, to, you know, start some care, get your body looked at.
Now, if we think about some of the other things that go along with summer fun, you know, we've got the heat issue. We've got definitely, you know, the travel that you brought up. So people are also wondering, you know, if they're already in care, like, what do I do when I am traveling? So we're going to talk a little bit about that, you know, some basic goals and stuff. But then also just that fear of kind of getting back out there, essentially, and becoming more active. And then what does the future hold, especially with the last year? In Virginia, those of us can understand that now it's 4th of July and the heat's going up and down and up and down, but we don't have to deal with cicadas anymore either. So, you know, one of the main things is I was going to say, we got to think about how the outside factors also influence our health as well too, correct?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Talk about immune health a little bit, and everybody's been, there was an article the other day, you know, where parents aren't used to seeing their kids sick again. Because they've been, you know, they've got masks on, they've been stuck inside. Everybody's going to go out. Your immune system's going to take a little bop because you haven't been exposed to stuff in a year and a half. So, you know, keeping up with that immune health, take your vitamin C, take your zinc. Remember, we've got grass pollens right now. We're going to have ragweed coming in a little bit. You know, the allergies are still out there and you just want to keep your immune system nice and strong and stable and everybody will be okay.
One of the things I know, especially with the heat that we talk about in allergies, is kind of getting stuff flushed out. So making sure hydration, big factor as far as that goes
right now. Yeah.
Electrolytes in and watching those temperatures as it gets into the 90s and then drops back into the 10s. From a structural standpoint, because most people would think, okay, and this is what we hear all the time, I'm going to drink water when I'm thirsty. Right? Like we hear it all the time. I'm not
thirsty.
I must
late.
Be hydrated.
Yeah. If you're thirsty, it's too late.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But at the same time, too, it's really funny because I've had conversations where we can almost turn off that little voice in our head that says I'm thirsty once we go beyond it, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Once you start to get really dehydrated, then you don't feel like drinking water. And that's, you know, a lot of times when you get that way, it's sitting there, and it literally is. It's just sitting in your stomach. You can't get absorbed because your electrolytes are so low. Yeah. I mean, I've got two knucklehead boys that are 10 and 15 that never want to drink water, and they're, you know, they're little gingers like me, and you can see them just getting just the fluid getting sucked out of them like little grapes. And you just got to, you know, if you got kids, you got to stay on them. But even adults, we forget about it. We get busy and you just got to get the fluid in right now. The humidity is awful out there.
Yeah. And what I was seeing in the office, even experiencing this myself too, where we have masks on all the time, you know, not only do you have a mask that blocks you from drinking water probably as frequently as you would think, and most people at work, if they had to wear masks, might run into this too. But then when you do, you're thirsty, so you're drinking a lot, and then it's not absorbing the way it should. So now you're just running to the bathroom, which makes you not want to drink more water because you don't want to run to the bathroom all the time. So that's where, explain how electrolytes kind of work with this. Like, how is that pulling water into the tissues so that we are not just drinking more water and then feeling like it's going nowhere?
Yeah, I mean, you have to have, you've got your trace minerals, you've got your basic electrolytes that you have to have in. This goes back to, you know, eighth grade science class and osmosis and getting fluid across that barrier. It's just like when you're in water too long, your skin starts to prune, starts to wrinkle. If you don't have those basic metabolites there, and a lot of people do get low on them, that water just sits, and that's when you're drinking water and it feels like it's just sitting in your belly. It's not going anywhere. And that kind of gets people to drink less in the end. And that tells you that when that water's sitting there, you're really dehydrated. You got to put something else in there. You got to put a little bit of, you know, a little bit of sea salt in there, maybe a little bit of organic juice a lot of times. But you got to get those basic electrolytes back in,
yeah,
especially this time of year, this summer.
Yeah. And so in the same kind of principle, when we look at any of the sport, commercial kind of sports drinks and stuff like that, is up there too. I mean, they're using that. Granted, they're also adding a little extra sugar
in tons of sugar in most of those,
coloring,
yeah,
that we have no idea where that came from. But that principle is the same idea of where they came from.
The principle is the same idea, yeah. There's smarter ways to go about it. But, right, you know, it's the same principle. And
right,
that, you know, once you're – so you look at, you know, the two different things that we do. When people are dehydrated like that, you know, the muscles, I can always tell when I have somebody on the table and they're dehydrated because if they're stiff, and it's a different kind of stiff than a muscle spasm. There's the muscles aren't limber. There's real flexion into them. and I can kind of just gently push up and down the spine, and there's no real movement in it. They're stiff. And that's when you get prone to joint injury. And likewise, you know, when we talk about acupuncture, we talk about, you know, flow of energy, you know, we're talking about blood and lymph moving. You have to be hydrated to do that. Mm-hmm. You can't, it'll be stagnant.
Well, one of the key things that I always talk to my patients, especially when it comes to acupuncture, and if I'm talking with one of those people that I know has a problem drinking water, has a problem getting fluids in because they're, you know, concerned about going to the bathroom or they just don't have the time to do it. You know, I kind of think about, okay, where can we get it from food sources? Where can we get it in supplements? Like even using like fish oils and good fatty acids as a way of hydrating the body. It's doing it in a different way, but it is another way to kind of get some fluid kind of moving in the body as well too. And in Chinese medicine, that kind of cools the body down. So when you get these really hot times, and I have women who come in with hot flashes, I'm going, we need to cool the inside of you, just like you're thinking about cooling the outside of you. So it's a good way to kind of get things kind of moving as well too. So hydration is always a good thing, especially when it does get really, really warm out there, and especially even when it's got the humidity that we have here in Virginia as well too. You got to make sure you always have something with you and carrying that thing, and so you're drinking throughout the day.
Yeah, I always tell patients, have a, you know, get a container, get like a 32-ounce jug, and that way you can kind of, you can track it better than, well, I got a glass here and a half glass there, and I went to the water fountain. You know, that way you can actually kind of see how much water you're getting. The basic rule of thumb is you take your body weight, cut in half, put in ounces, and that's how much you should have in a day.
When someone's trying to do that too, whether it's the summer or any other time, are they going to get as much benefit out of it if they're drinking, they're going, okay, I'm going to drink this one glass now and this one glass, you know, in another hour versus kind of sipping on it throughout the day? Or are they going to?
As long as the fluid gets in. I look at kind of as a marathon. As long as you're getting the fluid in there, you're going to be okay. And actually, winter's just as bad. We don't think about that, but you know, when it's really, really like bone chilling cold, you ever put like a, you know, like a piece of chicken or a piece of meat in the freezer and it's not covered well and it gets frostburn. That's the cold sucking the fluid out of it. And the same thing happens to us in the winter. That cold air will suck the fluid right out of you. You don't notice it as much as you do during the summer. And the cold, you're not worried as much about heat stroke or heat exhaustion as you are during the summer, but yeah, it can happen year round.
You do bring a good point, because as we talk about kind of hot and cold, the other thing is during those cold winters though, we come inside and we've got dry heat. So mm-hmm. if we are yeah. staying more inside and we're not moving, so you can't win outside in the cold, you can't win inside in the heat, vice versa during the summertime. So the goal is just stay hydrated the whole time anyway. Just don't give it an issue.
Yeah, just keep drinking your water. You'll be okay.
Now, I know there's in Chinese medicine, there's a way of looking at this, but is there a difference between hot water, cold water, room temperature?
Cold water is generally not good for you because of the blood flow constriction in the stomach that you get along with it. You know, one water hot, boiling hot either. But you know, room temperature is good.
Yeah. In Chinese medicine, we do the same thing too. There's that constriction and then room temp to warmer, depending if you're a colder type of person, that warmth is going to kind of kick things up a little bit. But you obviously, there's damages that you can do if you're just drinking really hot water too. So we are getting ready to go to a break. And when we come back, we are live. This is Dr. Tom Rizal live with Dr. Leonard Poe and Dr. Stephanie Pina. We'll be right back.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Welcome back to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We are live on a 4th of July Sunday here in Virginia and in the DC area. Hopefully everyone else is getting to enjoy that in the rest of the country. And of course you're turning in to listen to Dr. Tom Rizal Live like you do every single week between 11 and 12. And the good thing is I have a guest on here. I'm Dr. Stephanie Pina, licensed acupuncturist and naturopath, and I'm with Dr. Leonard Poe of Core Concepts Chiropractic by Rizal out of the Broadlands. Dr. Poe, we've been talking about heat and summer and water and everything that goes along with it and how we have to continue our care, even if we're on the road, even if we're staying busy. But one of the things we want to talk about, what was that?
I said continue or start your care.
Continue or start, exactly. Like, why would it be a good reason to start now if you haven't started this before?
One of the reasons would be, especially if you're a kid. And you need some care because now summer's a, you know, a great time for kids to start because their schedule's not hectic. You can kind of get, you know, whatever their particular problem is, you get a lot of the stuff out of the way before they go back to school. And this is when in practice, you know, we see a lot of kids starting up, you know, they've had problems. Especially this summer, I've seen more kids over the past year for neck and shoulder pain than I have in the last 15 years, which, you know, kind of surprised me at first because, you know, the 8-year-old shouldn't have neck pain. It's kind of a weird thing, but they've spent the past year on these little 10-inch Chromebooks. And it's been a lot of strain for them. So if, you know, your kids are having that sort of issue is, you know, they've had any neck and shoulder pain, any back pain from sitting all day staring at Chromebooks. Now's a good time to get that worked out. And kids are very easy. Kids are very easy to treat, very easy to get back going again. Hopefully they'll be back in school next year. That's the plan at least. But now's a good time for kids to get started too, if there's any health concerns.
Well, and I would think as you get kids that are a little bit older as well, and maybe you have their, you know, adults and stuff, they're helping them out with this. You know, we're midway through the summer, but then come beginning of August or so, I always think of sports seasons kicking back in and practices starting. And I mean, I would think it's kind of hard to think of, oh, what can I do to prevent the injury from happening? But now would be a perfect time to get everything loose and stretched out and that blood moving. So that way you can optimize your performance and then also prevent some of the injuries and some of the issues that are happening at the early part of season versus like waiting for something to happen later on.
Yeah, we got our summer sports right. Summer swim right now is the big one. So, you know, lots of shoulder stuff, rotator cuff, you know, depending how old the kids are, you know, you only have so many rotations with their shoulders, just, you know, keeping them healthy, keeping them strong, you know, making sure that they're not, you know, building in injuries. It's so competitive now. It's crazy competitive now in with sports with kids. And about the kids start to get into, you know, eighth grade, ninth grade, you know, that's when I start having a conversation with them about their nutrition, about, you know, keeping their diets clean, you know, keeping the sugar out and that sort of thing, if they want to be serious about sports. And so many kids out here, you know, especially out here in Loudoun, I mean, their sports scholarships are huge. And, you know, if you don't have your sport picked by the time you're six, you know, you forget about it. You're way behind. It's crazy competitive. But, you know, this is when you start talking to kids about, hey, if you want to be serious about this, if you want to play in high school, you want to play in college, you want to try to get a scholarship, you've got to treat these kids like you would a professional athlete now. It's insane. You start to see these injuries in 10, 12, 13 year olds.
Yeah. And I remember used to seeing, like, when I think about also some of the sports out there, like ballet, dance, you mentioned swimming, some of these things that actually go year round, but then the intensity might increase during the summertime because they're not in school and they've got more time to practice and, you know, and then you've got something like the Olympics coming. So then it like stirs the fire to go even more.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy part is most of these kids now, they're playing their sports year round. I mean, both my kids play travel baseball. They play baseball pretty much year round. You got a spring season and a fall season, which are major seasons, but even in summer, and I mean, my kids are in practice during the week. And that's how it is for all these sports. Kids swim year round. I mean, kids play, I mean, besides outside of football, because you can only, you know, get banged up so much in a season. Outside of that, I mean, there's volleyball year round. There's baseball, there's soccer, there's basketball. You name it. The travel teams go year round now. And so these kids really need to be treated like they were professional athletes, the amount of time they train and play and do things. And we tend not to think of them like that. And that's where you start to see injuries early on in high school. You shouldn't be having Tommy John surgery in high school. I mean, you just shouldn't have to.
Well, and when we think about those types of injuries, it may be the same things that adult might experience, say from overuse injuries or if they're playing the same sports, but then you have growth plates that still haven't completely formed and you have, you know, bodies that are basically still kind of trying to find their way and hormones that are raging and everything. So you've got all these other issues, never mind the psychological part of it, because we can't leave out the mental, emotional part of the stress that, you know, you want to perform to the best you can. But where's that fine line between, okay, I'm really passionate about this, but now I've gone over the edge. So we see, like, I'm going to give up sleeping and I don't need sleep. I'm just going to play all day long. And we need that sleep in order to find time to rest and grow and to heal. Yeah. So we got to think about the smaller joints and stuff as well, too, instead of just thinking, oh, it's just a back issue. It's just a neck issue.
No, the rest cycles and the cross training cycles are so important for these kids. You don't think about it for a kid that age. And that's kind of the funny part. We just tend not to. But that's important. And, you know, like I said, summer is a great time to, you know, stop, kind of evaluate those things, you know, and kind of come up, if you are serious in sports, you know, come up with a plan on, you know, how you're going to stay healthy for it, whether that's dietary changes, whether that's different kinds of stretch and things like that.
And if you're not doing that, also to find that time to rest from it, if you are taking a break as well, too. So recovery and repair have to go along with increasing performance and becoming competitive as well, too. So we are going to go to the break, and essentially we're going to come back and continue talking about how summer can affect your health and why you need to stay healthy and active with chiropractic and acupuncture when we come back in just a minute.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Stephanie Pina and Dr. Leonard Poe of Core Concept Chiropractic by Rozelle, and also of the Rozelle Center for Healing. And we are here today talking about summer and your health during summer, as it is July 4th. And the good thing is, luckily, we don't have to do anything crazy like firework safety or, but we are talking about hydration, how to put out that fire within the body instead of outside the stuff that we light. So we're going to change. Don't do that. Like, be safe. Be safe and healthy tonight and for the rest of the weekend. If you're going to be out there doing anything, if not, come back and see us. We're in Fairfax, Virginia, and also the Broadlands, Virginia. So, Dr. Poe, we're
going to switch. Barns are not fun.
No, they're not. Little calendula cream, little arnica. We definitely had them in the office. You know, I mean, we use a lot of natural care for first aid kits as well, too. So I think it's a great way to lead into travel because I'm going to ask you in just a couple minutes once we get into it, like, what do you personally bring with you and your family when you guys travel to make sure you're staying on the right track naturally and you've got everything kind of covered so that people can kind of understand that if you think about a couple extra things, whether it's a short vacation on the road or you're traveling abroad or, you know, just a day trip or something like that, like what happens and stuff too. But let's talk about how do you stay loose and healthy and prevent injuries and stuff when you're traveling, because that's got its own things. People want to come in right before they leave, but then they also come back right when they get back in because they realize that they've kind of hurt and injured themselves. What do you think about that, Dr. Poe?
Well, I mean, I think probably the biggest thing is, you know, when we travel and we go places, we're still, you know, generally, and this is when, you know, at the end of the day, people ask, you know, what are you selling? I'm selling lifestyle change for most patients. You know, especially my wife, I mean, she's incredibly active. So our lifestyle doesn't shift that much when we go away. We're still really active. Now, if you're incredibly inactive, you know, you go away on vacation, that's not the time to start becoming active. You kind of got to ease back into these things. But you know, you go out, we go for walks. We, you know, we're moving around all the time. We're not just sitting around doing nothing. You know, we stay active, and our dietary, you know, our diet really doesn't change much. You know, we cheat a little bit when we go on vacation. And that's okay. But, you know, we don't eat out every day. We don't eat fast food. We don't do those sorts of things. So it doesn't really shift for us that much. And if you're going on vacation, you know, you still eat well, you still eat right. And there's ways to make smart decisions if you're somewhere where you can't cook your own food or make your own food. You know, you don't blow it all out on the first day and then you feel like crap the rest of the vacation. The big thing I would say for most people, especially people our age, not so much for kids, but for adults, and you see this happen a lot, is when people go away, they get sick. And part of that is their adrenal stress. You know, you're going and going and going and just plowing away. And then you go on vacation and you relax and all that cortisol, all that adrenaline drops out. And some of your other hormones have been so suppressed for a while that you crash. A lot of people just do that on the weekends, you know, come Friday, Saturday, they're done. They're crashed. You know, they can barely make it till they go back to work on Monday, and they can do that because once they start back with work, then they're stressed again and that hormone pops back up and kind of pushes them through it. So, you know, a little bit of adrenal support is always good, getting ready to go on vacation, but then also while you're on vacation, because that cortisol dumps off and you feel horrible. So, you know, those are some of the things we do. We always bring a little vitamin C with us, a little zinc, you know, just to make sure none of us get sick. We, you know, we're able to enjoy the vacation. All right. You know, but that's depending on where we go too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about the adrenal stuff, I totally agree too. And even when I traveled to Peru, knowing I was going, oh God, I'm going to go high altitude. I'm doing treks and mountain climbing that I'm totally not used to. I don't know what's going to happen with food. You know, you have to, you're stressed out planning everything in advance. Then you have to go on there and your body needs a few days to relax. So you're assuming you've got a long enough vacation that you can finally get relaxed. And then you're hopping on the trip, coming back going, okay, did I eat the wrong food? Did I, you know, what's on the next agenda? What do I have to run to? So when I was in Peru, I totally had to take things for high altitude sickness and to kind of help get those electrolytes and the hydration going, because
it's
so different. But I totally put adrenal support in there too, because I knew my body was going, it was going to help you get through it, but to what extent?
Yeah. No, the altitude, if you're going somewhere high altitude, that it's weird because you don't feel like you're thirsty. It's the pressure is different. It's weird. It really is. It's odd.
And yeah, you're also dealing with the fact that you've got that oxygen change too. So your body is putting much more demand on itself to function every moment. So I remember eating lunch and breakfast, and I was like, you got to give me a half an hour extra after this, because it wasn't even a big meal, but your body says, I need to digest this first before we get up and start walking around the town. So those different types of climates can definitely affect you. But even right now with flying, you know, you have to think about, you know, staying hydrated on planes, because you're not going to have the same kind of stuff available to you. Like, say, maybe the airports don't have the stores open that they used to have, or in the food selection is not exactly the best. And so a lot of different things to take into consideration for sure.
Sure. So. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, did you bring a pint of your own blood when you went to blood donor?
I did not. We did have a pulse oximeter, which was actually more of a thing of interest to check how your oxygen levels were, which a lot of people now use because of COVID. We had one of those. So when we started seeing someone in the 89s, we told them to sit down. A couple people in my group did actually use the oxygen tanks a couple of times. They had it available. Always good to know if your hotel or whoever's with you knows how to use the oxygen tanks. You don't want to find that out at the last minute. That didn't happen to us, but luckily, you want to know a little bit more about the areas that you're going to. I think that's smart planning.
Travel's fun. Travel's great. But yeah, you want, you know, depending on where you're going, you know, you can kind of prepare for those things, and you can do it naturally. I have patients all the time. They're traveling to, you know, like South America. They're traveling to Africa. You know, there's always some extra intestinal things I tell them to bring, just to, you know, take after they eat, take after they drink, just so you don't get parasites, so you don't get bacteria, you know, in there to fester and grow. You know, if you take care of it kind of as you're going along, you know, you're fine. And you look at a lot of ancient cultures anyway, there were certain things they did and certain things they ate or drank along with food to help stabilize that. And we, you know, we kind of miss those things today, but depending on when you're going, there's traditional things to do there too. So you can kind of pick up some clues based off of that.
Right. I mean, even bringing some simple probiotics can kind of help with moving one way or the other. And then even if you're getting too much movement and you're getting like traveler's diarrhea and stuff like that, at least you're trying to balance things out, stay hydrated again, because you know that you're going to lose some fluid that way. But just little things like that, even magnesium, I know people too take magnesium powder with them on a plane, because the kind of the air pressure kind of creates like a bloating for some people. And so that kind of helps to keep things moving as well too. So probably not the time to do the caffeinated beverages and the coffees and the everything like that. But it just reminded me, one of the things that we used to talk a lot about with traveling and say changing time zones was always dealing with jet lag. I know you love talking about jet lag. So
I do. I think it's, you know, this is one of those techniques in acupuncture that I think is fascinating. I think it's all, you know, but it works. That's the thing. It's crazy, but it works so well. You'll hear, you know, people that really travel and that kind of know this secret. I mean, it works. It does a great job. I think it's fascinating.
So give me a little bit of an explanation on how someone would deal with jet lag.
Well, you're the acupuncturist, but I'll go for it. Okay. So in the acupuncture system, you've got 12 major meridians, and they're on a time clock. And so for every 2 hours during the day, a certain meridian is what would you call it?
Most
like that's
active.
Its time. Yeah, most active. That's its time. And so depending, and there's something called Ori points. And so depending on where you are, where you're going, you can tap these different points to help reset your internal clock to help fix jet lag. And it works. It's cool. It's such a fun little thing to teach patients and show them how to do it. So you don't miss the first half of your trip. You know, you're not jet lagged. You're not tired. You can, you know, you go anywhere in the world and energetically you pick up just like you were wherever you were.
Well, a lot of times I think most people, if they were thinking about what do I do naturally, like, and pick up something at the store right before I go, it might be, oh, I'm going to pick up melatonin. But that could work for some people, but there's also a downside with that, because if you're taking it at the wrong time,
yeah,
based back home, you're going to be essentially putting yourself to sleep just like if you were taking it forward, or any of the, not the Benadryls, but the like the seasickness pills and stuff like that, that kind of basically are there to kind of slow down the system and knock you out so you don't realize that there's movement going on.
Yeah.
So again, you're putting yourself in that same situation where I would just have someone either wear a seasickness band, which that pressure point is basically another acupuncture point. It's pericardium 6 on the wrist.
So yeah, there's tons of great, you know, acupuncture points for travel, for, you know, seasickness, for motion sickness, for, you know, to help with jet lag. There's tons of things with acupuncture. And they're easy to do. They're easy to teach the patients and show them. And, you know, I think it's great. I think it's fantastic.
I mean, one of the funniest things that I ever did, I was on a flight from, I think, Phoenix, Arizona to Manchester, New Hampshire. And all of a sudden somebody, you know, hit that button that says, is there anyone medical on board? And you kind of have a moment going, maybe, maybe not. But I rang the bell and somebody was kind of having an issue because they forgot that they had retaken their medication. So one, it was more of a panic attack than anything, but I remember the airline attendants were so afraid to take a blood pressure. They had already hooked up oxygen. I thought that was the tough part. So, but I went back there and sat down with the gentleman. I remember sitting in the aisle and taking blood pressures and hanging out with him for a little bit and using some of the rescue acupuncture points by tapping underneath the nose and then kind of using your fingernail on the tips of the fingertips because they're not, you know, a pleasant place to have something sharp at, and it kind of revives you a little bit. So if someone knows that they have issues when they travel, it's perfect to sit down with somebody ahead of time, like the two of us, and kind of say, what can I do? Like, how to make it easy? Because I have a lot of people that come in with motion sickness and they're going, I'm traveling in 2 days. What do I do?
Yeah. So yeah. Hey, here's some ear seeds. Here's, you know, tap these points. Those things work great. They really do.
And then there's things that you can put in kind of your little travel on bag as well too, that I always go to my homeopathics when it comes to that, because they're great little go-tos like Nox Vomica homeopathically and Rescue Remedy to kind of help out with that quick adrenal buzz, things that are easy to carry with you that can make a really big difference sometimes.
What about the x-ray machines?
That would normally be okay.
Okay.
With the homeopathics, most people would say they're going to be okay because one, they probably were flown across the country or have gone through more x-ray getting to you to begin with when they were made.
So oh, come on. You can't have the common sense in there.
So, you know, it's easy to have, maybe you have a travel kit and that's it. You just put a few things in there. So it's not the same ones that you used over time. Carrying Arnica with you in case there's any trouble, or Arnica cream or gel if you've got any cuts, and some, just like having some aloe with you if you get a sunburn. So a lot of these little things that we think of, I've had people put a little pack of sea salt in there too. So that way they've got their electrolytes. So do you have any favorites? Cause I know you guys go to the beach and you're out there pretty actively. What do you usually carry like in your, say, emergency kit that would also be more natural related?
Well, it's like I said, we always take some vitamin C with us. We always take some, you know, some basic immune stuff just to kind of keep us going. Biggest thing for the kids and I, it's probably the fatty acids I got to put on like, you know, 70 plus sunscreen every, you know, 2 minutes because it's so god awful on me. So of course, you know, with that too, keeping up with vitamin D, you know, we always make sure we bring a lot of that because if you're wearing sunblock, then you're not absorbing UV light and you're not getting good vitamin D synthesis. But, you know, those sorts of things, you know, burn stuff for the kids and I, you know, some aloe, things like that. But like I said, the rest of it for us, because we're staying in a house. Yeah, we still go out. We go out walking every day. We're active every day, and you know our diet doesn't really shift that much. So, you know, it's simple things we bring.
I like for like more international travel too, like a light, even if someone doesn't have any issues with this, but a light compression stocking, if they notice that if they travel a lot, that they're getting any swelling or they're going from a cold country to a hot country, sometimes that helps and kind of gives you less of that fatigue in the legs as well too. Almost gives them a little bit of support, but good sturdy shoes as well. Yeah. You know, don't get the new shoes that you just thought were so cute. Especially Dr. Poe, don't get those new sandals that you thought were just amazing and you got to freak them in.
Stay away from the sport pumps.
Yes, exactly. You know, if you've got cobblestone streets, just think ahead. So, again, planning where you're going.
You know, it's easy for me and probably the same for you because, you know, I can treat my family however, you know, everything we do, you know, you and I, we need very little equipment. You know, I need like I can bring like a guasha stick and some seeds and, you know, you can tap acupuncture points and acupressure points. You know, it's easy to, you need very little if you know those things. But, you know, with my patients and they ask me, I could, you know, hey, this is what you do for this. This is what you do for that. The reflex points, the reflexology points, the acupuncture points they're fantastic things to kind of know and learn about.
Another thing I just thought of, because we talked a little bit about food, and obviously when you're traveling too, making sure you've got enough snacks and water and everything, because you don't know when you're going to get a chance to eat and you don't want any kind of hypoglycemic issues and stuff too, especially if you're getting stressed out. But thinking ahead of your supplements, if you're taking supplements, does it always mean a supplement vacation as well too, or are there certain ones that you think should still be in the rotation?
You know, I'm a big fan in general of supplement vacation sometimes. Get your body a chance to reset, get the liver a chance to really clear. A lot of times we have this tendency to just keep adding supplements in forever. And, you know, that's not a good thing either. So it's always good to take a break and reevaluate some of those things and see where you are and what you really need. There's some base things though that you kind of know, you know, you may need. Like a lot of people, they just need to take vitamin D. They just need a little extra B12. That's kind of learning how your engine runs and what it kind of runs hot on and what you need a little bit more of. But there, you know, there's some base things that probably most people need. We still bring digestive enzymes with us, you know, because we take those regularly. But that's kind of unique to the patient.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, as we talk more and more about travel in the summertime, we certainly know planning ahead is just one of those main things as well too. So
yeah,
we're going to take a quick break and be back with you in just a moment. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. This is Dr. Stephanie Pina from the Rizal Center for Healing, and I am in studio, but we're not in studio, but we're live, and I'm with Dr. Leonard Poe of Core Concepts Chiropractic by Rizal and located in the Broadlands. And Dr. Poe, we had an interesting text come in asking us about injuries during the summertime. And I guess it's kind of like an overuse injury, right? If you're thinking about blisters and cuts and, you know, how obviously that can depend on how severe we're talking. So a severe one, yes, you should probably seek medical attention. We'll put that out there right now. But how do we help out with the healing process, or if we know someone's prone to it? A big one that I get actually is people who have bug bites all the time. They go out and they get attacked by the bugs. Like what's your thoughts on that?
There's a bunch of different things you can do for that. You know, if it's kids, if it's just a real bad allergy, you know, a problem or kids, sometimes kids are really sensitive to the poisons. There's different things you can do, you know, internally to help kind of, you know, bind some of those toxins up and get them out. Calcium lactate is always really good for the skin itself. You know, but of course, you know, there's basic first aid stuff. You know, you clean it, the area. There's different kinds of salves and things to start drawing the poison back out. And, you know, that's probably the biggest thing you want to do this time of year. But, I mean, people, bug bites, poison ivy, poison oak, things like that. This is when people start to get in that stuff. You want to clear the poison internally and draw it out of the skin as best you can.
And this might be a good thing too. Like we talked about, you know, seeing either yourself or myself beforehand to kind of work on issues that lead to other issues might be look at those inflammation factors. Like you, how is the body, why is the body already inflamed to begin with that something that some people don't have any issues with, they're having this big response for. So what else is this really telling us?
Yeah, that's, you know, God, I mean, it's like beating a dead horse sometimes. talking to people about adrenal function, but that's the biggest thing. People are just so adrenal, especially over the last year and a half. I mean, people are just worn out. Their adrenals are just done. They're shot. And, you know, you have to help start supporting that, because when those fail, you lose a large chunk of your ability to bring on that anti-inflammatory cascade and to help manage it and bring it down. And that's the biggest thing. It's not, you don't develop more allergies as you get older. You don't get sick. It's not any of those internal things. There's nothing wrong with you other than your stress is going up and your body can't manage the stress patterns as well. So your hormone patterns, everything else kind of starts to fall apart. But it's not that the trees have changed. It's not that there's more pollen. It's you. It's what's going on inside you and your body's ability to manage those things.
Okay.
And that's why summer's a good time to start those pieces too, because we do have kind of a, you know, you got the grass allergies right now, but there's kind of this lull until we start up with the ragweed and the fall molds and things like that, leaf molds, tree molds, that you get in winter when we start to get colds and flu. So now it's actually a good time to start building your immune system back up.
Yeah, totally treating a couple seasons ahead of time and get better.
If you've got a strong immune system going into it, it's so much easier. Once you're in the fire though, that's where it's really hard to put it out. You know, but if you start now's a good time.
So if someone's going to take off the road, they're planned, they've got their food and the diet ready, they're going to try to keep their sleep intact. You know, if they were getting constant treatments with you for chiropractic or myself with acupuncture, you know, when would be the best time for them to get that last treatment in before they leave? Is it the day before or a couple days before? And when should they
usually tell
patients,
you know, day before, you know, day or two before, especially if you're getting a car, you're going to, you know, if it's a long kind of travel. You know, the day before, you know, sometimes patients will come in the morning of, they're, you know, before they head into the airport. You know, those things are easy to take care of.
Yeah. Same. I would say the same thing with acupuncture as it goes to even the night before, kind of helps them relax a little bit more going into the evening so they can sleep a little bit better, especially if they have an early start or, you know, their time change is going to be off. Just kind of review those things. If they're going on a major trip and they're worried about carrying some of the things that we talked about as far as the kind of first aid, you know, natural first aid stuff, you know, maybe have that visit a little bit like a week before that so that you get a chance to kind of accumulate everything.
I think their energetics probably suffer more than anything else traveling like that, getting on a plane, just being surrounded by, you know, all the different magnetic waves, everything else. That's important to get that fixed as soon as you get back.
Yeah, you don't want to have that vacation from the vacation when you get back. So
where you feel worse.
I want to thank everybody for listening in on this 4th of July Sunday. I want to thank Dr. Poe for stepping in with us at the last minute as well, too. He was a great co-host. Good job,
my
Dr.
pleasure.
Poe.
Anytime.
I hope we'll do it again. Dr. Zell should be back with you next week, and have a great, safe weekend.